Welcome back, everybody. Week 6, Hot D, the hottest of D's.
The princess and the queen.
The princess and the queen. What do you think?
Time jump.
That's right. I guess that's the big thing right at the top of it. What do you think about the time jump and the replacement actresses?
Man.
Actors.
I want to say that I liked the episode. But I also want to say, and I knew this was going to happen, I miss our old girlies. And I think it's going to take a little while. I think that this episode was great. I think that our new squad, there was some pretty amazing moments, some moments that made me LOL. I really liked our new squad. But man, we just, over the last 5 weeks, we've been going through it with our other people. And I feel like we started the show all over again tonight. And so I'm still kind of, 20 minutes later, I'm still kind of trying to figure out what I make of it. And so I'm curious to hear what you think about it. But I would say overall, pretty good. But this episode was a lot in terms of new stuff.
One thing I really liked is that it felt like an episode of the show that would fit within a season somewhere that wasn't trying to be a first episode set piece or some big transitional flowing feels like the end of Game of Thrones season 8 or season 7 complete vibe the whole time, which on paper sounds like it would be really cool. A lot of the episodes in the beginning of the season really felt like that. Like it felt really expensive and it felt really sweepy, but this felt like the meat middle of GOT season 1, season 2, heavy drama, conversation based, where you're trying to make a prestige television show, but it's fit directly smack into this universe. And I think there's a couple moments in this episode that felt mysterious, that feels signature to the world, that I know after all this time in the world that I could either read into it or not read into it. Sure. It could just be the mysticism of the moment. And I like that it feels that way. And the transition was crazy. And it did feel like a new show completely. That was my thought too. But the birth scene was really drawn out. And so within that, it just sort of felt like we were in something brand new. And Rhaenyra is, her pitch is lowered.
You're right.
Three or four registers. And so she's a woman grown now. And
with three it feels different.
Yeah.
It does feel different. What?
Allison's really become Allison. I'll tell you what.
What do you mean by that?
Well, she's just, it feels like she's definitely drawn a line in the sand.
I know.
And I guess it's Laris. It's a combination of a lot of things, but we still have Viserys. It's still Viserys. Being extra Viserys, not noticing
in,
those kids.
Right. My favorite, we both laughed out loud when they were, his kids and his grandkids are sparring in the, wherever they do that, they practice. Jason, Luke, and Aegon, and Aemond. And I need to scroll exactly what he said, but he's basically like, man, I love this. He's like, they're going to grow up.
This is the stuff.
Yeah. He's Lionel, this is the stuff.
Oh my God. It's so true, though.
They're
going
to
really
grow up
to
become besties. They're going to fight for each other. This is family. He's living for that moment. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they're basically fighting for their lives down there with all of this underlying tension. And he's just up there having a good time.
I think that that's a really cool representation of what this, the legacy of Westeros, or just the generational quality of people, the dynamic that plays out on a grand scale is, and it's playing out in that yard.
Right.
It's like the way that we treat each other and these little moments that we have, the conversations that actually happen and the reactions that people actually do. For some reason in this world, what we usually chalk it up to is that they're so important and they have so much power. So they play their cards so close to their chest. We were saying that, we were talking about that a lot with David in the last episode about Rhaenyra versus Kristen. And I think it's a combination of that plus a combination of the fact that it has to be a TV show. So it has to play out in a certain way. But also because it's for the time period, maybe. It feels a little this, thou's, and thou's. And so they really take all these moments really seriously.
Right.
And that conversation that blossomed between Alicent and Rhaenyra, where she mentioned that they used to be friends, it seemed like they hadn't acknowledged that dynamic, for example, for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Been 10 years.
I thought it was really interesting how, and I both liked it and disliked it, how much we got to feel the weight of the time that has passed with the tension between the kids, with that moment in the small council, with obviously the actors change.
Lionel's hairline.
Right. Lionel's hairline. Rip. Viserys's face.
Oh, poor
his
guy.
Whole thing.
He honestly, very it could be sickly. Worse.
It could be very, it could be worse. It could be worse. Yeah. But I feel like the culmination of that, I really felt the, I really felt the passage of time. It made me feel a little sad that maybe we didn't get to really see a lot of these relationships. Like I think about like Harwin Strong, would have loved to watch that play out, or would have loved to see more of Allison and Rhaenyra's dynamic as the line continues to get drawn. Kristen came out hard against Rhaenyra in this episode. Real hard.
He called her a spoiled bitch or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did.
Like a C-worder.
Yeah, he did. You know, so very
that
clearly trying to state that
he's
tensions.
A bad guy
yeah, he's not.
Also,
nice.
He didn't age at all. So there's that.
He aged just enough. You know, just enough.
It pulls me out of it a little bit, though, when Rhaenyra is such a significant change and Kristen Cole is walking there and
looks exactly
same with
the
Allison,
same.
Too. Allison's such a significant change, but we didn't need to age Kristen up. I understand how cool it is to be able to. This is a neat new thing to be able to have two new main characters like this. Mm-hmm. I understand that completely. Mm-hmm. That's neat, but it's also kind of just strange having them beside each other.
Well, I totally agree. I think
that we're going to make the age really significant.
I think it's nice that there's some consistency a little there, but yeah, I agree with
well,
you.
Well, just
and
why
so,
not age him up like Viserys was? I mean,
I think
obviously
the age,
he's
they
got
did
sickness.
Age him up a little.
Yeah, but it was mostly like a style change. He's got a little bit less curly, flippy hair.
Right.
And Harmon's a little bit thicker.
I just find the whole thing to be interesting because clearly there's a lot of cool stuff that we missed. And so part of me wishes that maybe we got to spend a little more time.
It's just like the book.
It is just
that
like
felt
the book.
Just like the book. So based on the pacing, we don't want to spoil anyone who hasn't done the reading, the read along with us on those podcast episodes. So no spoilers. Based on, maybe you can just give me hints. Give me body language. What do you think the goal is? If this is just like the book, the time jump basically was done just like the book, where are we trying to get by the end of the season? How far do you think we're going to go?
I think we're still going to get where we thought we were going to get at the beginning. Did we ever talk? I think we talked about it on the episode.
Right before. We did it on the Heirs of the Dragon episode before the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Of
when we were talking about the book, I think we're still on pace to get to the end of that chapter, essentially,
okay. Right
is
on.
What I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's we like we said, we think it's going to be there, that small council.
I think so. We only have
small
four
council.
Episodes
They're
left.
They're going to Dragonstone right now, though. That's the thing. And so if I'm talking about Laenor and Rhaenyra and their kids.
Right.
They're going to Dragonstone, and that's where they are whenever the news of stuff
hits.
Goes. So it's like,
Yeah, but we only have four episodes left.
Yeah, but four episodes of them in D-Stone, surely.
Nah, probably
surely
one or
happens.
Two.
Oh, okay. So then there's going to be a little bit more after that.
Yeah,
then.
But I think still, maybe that's like episode 9. The Small Council is episode 9.
When you show all these generations like this, it's neat. Like I said, it's the little dynamic of how we treat each other playing out in the yard, being a microcosm, and then these macrocosms are getting shown on a grand scale. It's really humbling. And just like the nature of Fire and Blood, we talked about it when we were reading the book chapter by chapter this past year, where we feel like when we're reading, remember the Conquest, the first chapter? These are our people and this is where we are. And I felt that way about replacing Maegor and
of course,
Jaehaerys and Allie getting their footing. It was like this is the
ones.
This is the moment in the book.
Yeah.
And then they get replaced and then I'm like, wait a second, did you hear about Baelon and Alyssa?
Right.
They're pretty cool. And you know, obviously there's even more dragons now. And there's gonna be even more. And
baby dragon scene.
Yeah, that was nice. We were when that scene happened, we both were like, this is a scene from Harry Potter. This is like a care of magical creatures mixed with the DNA DA scene. But it's really humbling when we were wrong that not even Jaehaerys and Allie are the focus. Everyone's the focus. The focus is
the Targaryen dynasty.
Yeah, but like the truth between the lines about human beings that's being expressed through the Targaryen dynasty. Mm-hmm. So even sweet and awesome Realm's Delight Rhaenyra, Millie Alcock is gone and caught up. Like it's like you were saying how the book shows or how this is cool, how it shows two different layers and makes us miss something. And so it's a different kind of expression than normal. That casualty helps us really feel what the book is saying, which is that even if you feel like Jaehaerys and Allie San are the main ones, that the people that were born from them, or that were born from the people that were born from them, might just be the main players now. So the focus on these young kids and knowing what their dynamic is going to be like moving forward, seeing it set up like this, that's another one of the reasons why it felt so much like early GOT to me, because that's exactly what we did with the Stark kids.
I agree.
And there were scenes just like this.
We had a bunch of little brown hair, curly hair kids mm-hmm. running around. It felt like
tops.
Winterfell.
Just for personalityless mop tops that are going to
exactly.
be international superstars in like 5 years.
I totally agree. And I think that's a good point. I mean, the stone keeps rolling. And you can't, Viserys earlier in this season talked so much about his legacy and kind of what that was going to be. And essentially, you can't change it. You can't, he couldn't get ahead of his daughter and the dramas and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that was the flip side of what I liked about the time jump, is that we really get to see the mistakes of the fathers, you know, is really ingrained in these kids who had nothing to do with anything, who can barely fight, or they don't know anything about the world.
Yeah, even if you think you can swing really good, did you see how good Kristen
Cole?
He was
not even moving. He was barely even moving. Yeah. It was so awesome. Yeah. I thought that scene was really great. But meanwhile, Viserys is still, you know, we see him with Emma's ring at that later mm-hmm. in the episode, just like really missing the early days. I thought that was a nice little nod to where we'd come from and then where we were at this point. One thing that I'm curious to hear what you think, and I'm curious to hear what people are listening are thinking, is the sides, quote unquote, that we're supposed to be taking, because I don't know if this episode personally swayed you in one direction or another in terms of who is potentially right or wrong.
It swayed me toward Damon, of course.
Right. He was like, I don't want to participate in any of this.
Isn't that all of us right now? Damon, the way he's sweet to Lena, you're like, all right, Damon, all the bad things that you've literally never done anything bad before, and we're going to need you to fight your old school, nemesis.
All of them were
going. It's not the crab feeder. It's
they were
the
all
triarchy.
Going bah, 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 bah. Hard. They're like the triarchy.
The triarchy. And the old enemy. Yes. Leonor's like, you know, I lust for adventure. That one time we made that one voyage mm-hmm. and then we did that one air attack and we cleaned them up and everybody survived and we won and it was beautiful. I lust for that moment again.
For adventure, for it's the sea.
It's so funny. That is encapsulated in the moment that he walked in after Rhaenyra gave birth. It's mm-hmm. that same energy mm-hmm. of that pomp, posh, I want to say pomp and the circumstance. So I'm just going to say pomp, posh, and the circumstance of being so fancy and being able to play at and pretend to be at war. But again, whenever Damon did it, we still thought it was cooler whenever he played at war for some
reason.
But
he misses playing at war.
Well, of course
in this
he does.
Episode.
But he also appreciates that possibility of such a nice setup. He's like, wait a second. You're
right.
Going to give us all of this and it's got compounding interest. We're going to get pledged. Like, we're the proper lords of this land. Very interesting. And when you have dragons, especially when your spouse has a dragon too, mm-hmm. and you can fit your kids on it.
One of the dragons.
They can live pretty remotely all the time. Yeah, Vhagar can fit a lot of little kids on there.
Right.
So they can potentially take this manse and come and defend Pentos whenever they might need help. And then, you know, maybe go back to Driftmark and hang out there for a little while. Maybe go hit up Dragonstone. It's like we were talking about in Fire and Blood, whenever Damon and Lena did this, we're like, man, this is a neat little midlife side quest for them mm-hmm. that is a different kind of life for Damon that
right.
he wouldn't have been able to get without doing something as crazy as he did in the Vale.
Lena's like, we're guests forever. And Damon's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your point?
Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. It's an opportunity. He's taking the opportunity he's taking advantage of having the freedom that he could never have had otherwise unless he was in the situation. It's a pretty posh situation for him. But I think that his poor wife is not wrong in the sense of she wants her kids to grow up where she's from and where her family is. They don't want to be away living in someone else's house, reading someone else's books when Damon's really just avoiding his responsibilities. And or I don't know if the underlying tone is that we're supposed to assume he's avoiding Rhaenyra. I would think so based off his comment in that letter that they got from Leonor. But I mean, if I was Damon, I'd probably choose the same situation. I really thought, though, that his dynamic with Lana was really strong in this episode. And I liked watching the two of them together. And I thought Lana was a pretty standout character in this episode to me.
Classic standout gone.
In 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why.
Like Carsey from Hard Home. We're like, wait a second, this could be a new...
A new fave.
Yeah.
But the way she went out was pretty powerful.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was such an awesome
death
scene.
Suicide by dragon when you're not an enemy is pretty interesting.
It's so interesting, and especially when we spent so much time talking about what these dragon personalities were going to be like, mm-hmm. to watch her dragon mull it over in his head.
And to know it's Vhagar in her head. And
right.
To know it's Vhagar rolling it over, to know the history and the way that she probably feels maternal over...
Completely.
Lana, because
completely.
Of the age. Being
of the
15
age
years
difference.
Old. Being 15 year old when she tamed her as well. That whole buildup is so weird.
You know what I thought?
It's Vhagar, just like Rhaenyra walking, basically, just like Rhaenyra after she gave birth, walking to show the baby
gosh,
off.
With the blood dripping.
Her awkward dad just completely just... doesn't think about the fact that she just gave birth or the state that she's in and all. It just ignores her completely and just holds the baby. And Allison does it on purpose.
Right.
But yeah, those scenes were similar. The blood dripping while walking.
I'm looking for a picture because I thought Vhagar really looked like that dragon from the Neverending Story. Vhagar looked like the evil version of the dragon from the Neverending Story.
You're talking about the furry?
Yeah.
What's his name? Falcor?
I can't remember.
An evil Falcor?
Yeah, that's what he kind of... That's what Vhagar kind of looked like a little bit. So I got distracted with what you were talking about with Rhaenyra. But
it's going to be a wild flip to see Vhagar's future in the show.
I know.
Especially after that scene.
I know.
And getting the sense of it, like I said, having this matronly spirit and feeling regretful, but also listening and being like, all right, life is crazy and this world is nuts. And I'm not going to ask for permission for who am I going to ask for permission
right.
around me? I'm the biggest thing here. I'm the biggest thing around. I'm the oldest one of us left. If you want me to do this child, I suppose I will.
Man.
Yeah. And then Vhagar's future in the show.
I know.
Is going to be pretty cool. And so, yeah, that's going to be neat for folks to tie themselves to a dragon. I like that dragon scene.
We didn't talk about the pink dread yet, but I thought that whole scene was definitely one of my favorites
more
in the episode.
That's the kind of texture that pulls you out of it. That's mm-hmm. the sort of opening scene energy of a movie that makes you feel close to what's happening. They don't seem like they're fantasy characters living in a fantasy land when they're hanging out just like us, but then the this and nows eventually slip in. So that was cool, yeah. The pink dread.
It was such a cute moment. I feel like we still have so much to learn of all of their personalities, all of the kiddos' personalities. I mean, we got a little bit of, at least when it comes to the Rhaenyra's kids. We really didn't get much of them at all. Mm-hmm. We get Jason as little nighty, which I thought was really funny for some reason. But we got a lot of Aegon's personality, maybe too much of Aegon's personality in this episode, but we didn't really get to see too much of Rhaenyra's kids.
Younger, but also reflecting the more boring nature of being the ruddy-headed Strongs.
Right, exactly.
Instead of actually from a double lineage of Targaryen ancestry. I guess the Hightowers aren't either, but it just seems like they're more fancy because they have the blonde hair.
For sure, the long blonde hair. They look way cooler, more regal, and they've got those sharp features and the whole thing.
Those sharp features that are just born of incest.
Right,
it's just
exactly.
A breakdown of their DNA. And we're like, wow, it's rare.
That strong jaw.
Yeah, and the, literally the Strongs are strong and you know, vibrant. Anyway.
What did you think about that? So something that really bugs me that I don't understand that I kind of wish we saw play out a little bit more is Rhaenyra's whole decision to go so in with Harwin Strong. And, you know, it is what it is. But it just comes across as such a careless move on her part after her in the first 5 episodes being so politically savvy, seemingly, and so calculated, and all those conversations with Laenor about we'll have our own
cake and eat it too.
Yeah, but we're going to be united and we're going to do this politically. And she's so set on her legacy. And then to have 3 kids with Harwin Strong so blatantly. And that was the focus of this episode, really, was the rumors and the drama surrounding that. But I just, it was hard for me to believe that Rhaenyra from episodes 1 through 5 would be so careless as to, and so brazen. And maybe that's what Kristen was kind of getting at when he was talking about how she was spoiled. It just seemed like a wild decision on her part.
Multiple kids, too.
One kid,
and
it happens.
It's,
you know,
crazier, too, with the Velaryons being so different looking.
That's what I'm so confused, not confused, but just so curious about how can you have gotten away? They're not getting away with it, but where in your brain are you thinking about this is going to work out fine?
I think maybe two things are happening. One, if we're going to cast the Velaryons as a different race in real life with the real people that we're hiring to do the TV show, then I think it also makes sense to not pay attention to what their kids look like,
sure,
and what the mix of the two races are that they look like, sure, to justify the canon of the show. That would be weird and awkward. And so that's why they're doing that, I think. Well, that's just a byproduct of doing that, because that's who they chose to play these characters. And birth and death and betrayal is so much what Hot D's actually about. But also, and it's just a sweet, convenient HBO fashion, they're also sticking that in your face and saying, look at that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're looking at, too. And isn't that wild? And so it's an extra little gotcha. In a neat little package that doesn't feel like it's controversial at all. But at the same time, when you look at it, it's like, look at the parents of these kids.
And look at Damon and Lena's kids.
So it's really
Lena's
cool,
kids.
I think. I like it. Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's working really well in their favor in this to make it a little bit more spicy for folks.
Yeah, because it makes it
while
so
also
so much
saying
Lena,
F you for if you care so much, sure, which also is so spicy for folks and true. So it's a double win, really.
It's just something I have a hard time really buying into at this point. And maybe if we don't see it play out in the book either necessarily. We just hear that it's happening.
Well, I think it helps make the situation so insane and explains why Alicent would be – she's gotten so much crazier over time,
she
it
really
seems.
She really has.
And so after the third kid, it's just like, okay, can we talk about this? And it's just interesting for Viserys to be – the thing that makes it work or not work, like they were saying in this episode, his approval basically is the law on this. And whenever he, what happened in this episode, the tongue's getting pinched and pulled out, whenever he passes that decree in the book, and he basically hinted at Alicent today, or at tonight in this episode, that it extends to everyone. And so as long as he's alive, his care for Rhaenyra, his where is Rhaenyra? Are you talking about Rhaenyra that was present through the whole series? Still stands true. And so everything's okay.
But only while he's alive. Doesn't everybody see how precarious that is? And it's not just us because of our own view, but doesn't Rhaenyra see that for herself?
I think that Rhaenyra is the person that we thought she was growing up, and that she hasn't felt threatened by really anyone or impressed by anyone. And she feels very confident that she's the next in line, and that, I mean, she grew up with her family being the ones that are completely in charge, right, and they have a bunch of dragons. So I think that kind of answers your question of how could she be so silly with the Harwin thing? Because the best thing she has besides Harwin is Kristen, who showed very quickly that he's not worth having kids with or having a actual long-term relationship. And it really is obvious from the way that they've set these two characters up, Harwin and Rhaenyra, they actually really like each other. And so it is dumb to do what they're doing in the face of everything, and a little bit crazy that their oldest would just start questioning it now. Again, like in the books, at a very opportune time. I think that she's not as smart as we thought she was.
Right.
I think that's okay.
It makes me side with Alicent a little bit more than I thought I would at this point. Jules, just because Alicent is obviously going about it in a pretty... She's really driving herself up the wall.
She's just mad at Rhaenyra for...
Personal reasons.
She's always mad at Rhaenyra for getting away with stuff never get away with.
Exactly.
You went out with Damon.
Exactly.
What did you do?
But she's in the right,
no
kind of.
No one cares about who your kid's dad was. This is messed up. She's like, I need evidence. Bring your kid to me the moment it's born.
Right. Their dynamic rules, because it still feels very petty, and it still feels very, we were once besties and now we're just kind of fighting with each other because we can't remember why we hate each other, mostly because we used to be friends. Anyway, but I still think that it made me sympathize a little bit more with Allison because I too, how could you not be? She's like, guys, stop with right, all of this pageantry.
It's not hurting her. It's not her business.
It is her business.
Why?
Because, I mean, maybe it's not her business. Maybe it's not her business, but.
If you care so much about who's in power, then maybe. But, you know, you're right. It is ridiculous. And she's the queen. And
she won't marry her kid to them.
They're governing.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah.
It's like, marry your kid.
If the kids and the birth and the succession and all that's the most important thing in the world, then it's going to be basically a bastard that takes the place of Rhaenyra after she is the ruler and leaves. And so Allison's just like, this is messed up. This is not fair. Why can't there be?
Allison's not even a Targaryen, so.
Well, by marriage. Sure, she got that name changed. Yeah. just like Sophie becoming a Jonas.
Right.
Like, hell yeah.
Or by a Jonas becoming a king of the North.
Wife. I'm a Jonas sister. I'm a Jonas wife. It's so nice, right?
It is really nice.
Anyway, so that happened to Allison. And she's like, where's the accountability? If we're all going to be so close to this and there's these tapestries and that's what this is all about, where's the accountability?
Well, it's just so blatant. At least be a little bit more chill about it.
And it was that blatant in the book, too. Yeah. So this isn't some weird idea for a TV show. That's the point of this is that it is so blatant. And now with what happened to Harwin and Lionel, R.I.P., finally got to see that.
That was so cool.
It's even more spicy.
Well, they got, not only did we get to see them burn, but we got to just feed into the lore of Harrenhal, which was so fun. Just continuing to world build and shore up all of these creepy things about this place.
Yeah, I guess add that to the list of creepy stuff that happened in this episode. But there's our answer. In Fire and Blood, the historical account did not know for sure what happened to Lionel and Harwin. But the options were basically, did Viserys take care of the situation on his own? Because he was, just like in this episode, done with all the rumors happening. And it's time to get rid of the possibility for that once and for all. But that would include getting rid of his favorite hand. So let's not think that that's what has happened. Did Daemon do it? Because his situation with Lena was changing around the same time, just like in this episode. And maybe it would be convenient for, who knows? Did Daemon have something to do with his
That's what I thought when I was reading it.
Loves?
Yeah.
Concubine / baby daddy being alive much longer? Well, I guess we have our answer, though. What do you think?
I thought it was so poetic how Larys essentially backed Allison into a corner.
From that last episode, the snake in the grass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When he was standing by the weirwood.
Yes.
In the same way he was clutching the flower in this one too. That sneaky little bastard.
He is, this was the best manipulation that we've seen thus far in the series. And I can't remember exactly what he says, but he basically says,
this is what you
owe me. This is what you wanted. Yeah. You never explicitly said it, but I read between the lines.
I bought myself a big favor.
Uh-huh.
A big favor. And I'm going to ask for it to be given at the exact right time, which we can assume is going to be after some level of succession. So being the son of the Hand of the King wasn't enough for Larys.
Mm-hmm.
What does Larys want? Who is he?
Well, he was the son of the Hand of the King, but clearly they're position was getting out of control. And I think Lionel was making a pretty good point in his resignation that, because remember when Lionel was standing up for Rhaenyra or something, he made some sort of comment in the small council and Allison scoffs at him a little. She's like, yeah, of course, kind of thing. Lionel can't have that energy around when he's Hand. And Viserys is like, you've been so impartial this whole time, the only impartial man in the realm. And Lionel's like, that's why I gotta go. That's why I gotta go. I could see somebody like...
What a real one.
I know, for real, though. Seriously. Like, really one of the last of the real ones, seriously, if you ask me. But I could see somebody like Larys being annoyed by that, thinking, we could have bigger and better and stronger, and you're not enough man enough to do it yourself. I don't know.
I think that's dead on. And maybe there's some more deeper sinister stuff, the motifs around him and what he seems to be looking at in 1,000 yards away. It seems to be a little bit more than normal. So I don't know where that's going to play out. But when you're willing to kinslay like that, it's a pretty big deal. I don't think he's a normal bad guy.
No,
and it's really exciting to me.
He's not a normal bad guy. His father, his brother, and his house.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Well, the good thing about Harrenhal is that it can withstand the drag of fire straight from Beleriand's mouth. So some fire's inside of it. It just burns out all the... It just basically cleans the place.
It is a bold move, though, to put you so indebted to... Or put Alicent, the queen, so indebted to you that... I don't know when that favor might be called in.
Well, he must be really useful to her because it seems like she's smart enough to get rid of this loose end if she really wanted to. Tell Viserys what happened and then Viserys can have this guy taken care of. Be like, I know for sure that he murdered your ex-hand and Harwin.
She's never going to do that though.
Yeah, because she's more interested in seeing
playing the game.
Rhaenyra get her due. I think it's game, but it's also becoming personal. It's also becoming really personal.
Well, it's been personal the whole time.
You're right, but it's about to become even more personal because now even more so their kids are involved. And we didn't get to see Mama Bear hang out with the kids when the kids were hanging out with each other. We only saw the dad.
Right, right.
The dad vibe.
And that didn't go well.
I guess we saw both their dads hanging out with each other. Yeah. Oh, that's so nice.
That is nice. That's why Viserys was
this
having,
is the stuff.
Having such a good time. Family bonding.
Well, I like Vhagar a lot. I liked the dragons a lot. Like I said, I like the DA, Care of Magical Creatures scene a lot. I like the mini short film as the writer Sarah Hess set it up as with Daemon and Laena. I like seeing Pentos. It feels like it's calm, even though we had a pretty vicious set of the birds and we had a suicide by a dragon in this episode. Things still feel pretty calm.
Well, something that I think adds to that and something that I've really liked about House of the Dragon so far, we talked about it in other episodes, is House of the Dragon seems to really hone in on one specific narrative and one specific theme per episode. So this whole episode was essentially about Rhaenyra's kids and who's their dad was basically the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. In previous episodes, we had entire conversations about things I cannot remember at this exact moment, about Viserys's who he's going to marry, a whole episode about, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that something that House of the Dragon has done really well is dial in on this one specific issue and get everybody's point of view on it and then button it up and then move on to the next thing. And so it makes it seem a little less wild and jumpy because these narratives are getting tied up with a bow at the end of each episode. So, okay, now basically everybody knows. Now Harwin's out of the picture, so on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. But I think they do that in a way that is less chaotic. I think it's worked really well.
Yeah, it's like I said at the start of the episode, if it felt really sweepy, then I would feel like I'm being just told what to think. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really open-ended still, and they feel... There's also just some really humble dialogue, a lot of humble dialogue in this. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what the fan base will think, what people will think about that. If they're okay with watching GOT Hot D with it not being a spectacle for a little bit.
But it still is a spectacle because we still get Laena and Daemon blowing dragon fire at each other, or I guess Laena blows it and then Daemon drives. We get this.
I forgot about that. That was nice.
Yeah, we get these really cool dragon moments. His hair. Well, it's a whole other conversation.
At that point, but yeah.
Remember that whole Daenerys thing? Remember when Daenerys walked through the fire? Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, Targaryens can't necessarily. Remember that? Maybe I'm wrong, but from what I understood, nowhere in the books does it say in A Song of Ice and Fire that Targaryens are immune to fire specifically, right? Because remember that was a controversy when Daenerys walked through the fire and everyone was like, that's not book canon. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think there's really three markers that are the main thing to point at, which is the really hot bath at the beginning of A Game of Thrones with Daenerys getting prepared for Khal Drogo when Jon burned his hand fighting the White at Castle Black, and when Daenerys walked into the tent with Miri chanting. And so that's the walk through fire moment. That's the flame invulnerability moment. And I believe, I can't remember specifically, but I'm thinking of Dance of Dragon era, the fighting pits, that there was also some fire that she was exposed to.
Well, and she walked out of the
And she was pretty invulnerable to that, too.
But I remember it was like, that shouldn't be happening. Anyways, this has nothing to do with what I was just trying to say, but it's just something I was thinking
it's
about.
Interesting. Cause it's interesting. Well, because George is inconsistent on purpose, especially with John.
Right.
But he also hints at it really strongly.
Well, and then it happens with Damon.
Which is just so beautiful because it's the whole idea with the magic. Yeah, and it does happen with Damon. Right. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
So that was curious to me.
Yeah. What did you make of Helena having that prophetic line about needing to lose an eye? And we'll stop there talking about Amond.
I found it interesting. We like paused it and rewound it because we were like, wait, did she really just say that?
Are we really doing that? We have some old Nan.
Is this some dreamer kind of like, so maybe she's the dreamer of the family.
Right. But dreamer, that's just Viserys's idea of how to make sense of it. So we got to remember that too, because it doesn't, just because he's the oldest guy in the room talking about how Targaryens work, we don't know if it's just, you're a dreamer. What if it's just magic being expressed in different ways?
Well, it's the same kind of thing as that we see in A Song of Ice and Fire with, what's her name? The Lord of Lights girly?
Melisandre.
Melisandre.
I was just thinking of female characters, Jane Westerling. What do you think about Jane Westerling?
I can't believe I forgot her name for a second. We're so far. Anyway, Melisandre's whole thing about how she's trying to draw on this mystical, magical thing, and she's like doing the right thing, but also missing the mark.
Yeah,
it's one of those.
Half of it's gunpowder, half of it
is real.
Her actual womb.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe
is what's
Helena is another. This is just another classic A Song of Ice and Fire moment of Viserys has this idea about dreamers, and he's kind of shooting in the dark because he wants it to be true, but then Helena is actually like a real one of it.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
Right.
Probably.
And then,
but that bug was disgusting. Second of all, why was she touching it? And I wish that she would put it away. I thought it was so gross. I was like, you're such a little weirdo. So maybe that's supposed to then continue to play into this idea that she's a dreamer because something's quote unquote off about her.
Mm.
She kind of had this vibe. She wasn't there.
You don't say.
Right? I don't know. So I thought that was a cool.
Maybe she was being warped into by Blood Raven.
Oh, no.
That's what was happening with the rat too.
Right.
Last episode and this episode. Yeah.
And all the episodes before.
And all the episodes.
So,
but something's going on with Laris and the plants.
I think it has to, Laris is the, he's the guy. I think it has to, like, you see that, so saw the brooch.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are bumblebees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like pollinating, like, so he's like a little bumblebee kind of thing. That's maybe what made me think about it.
What about Lord Beesbury?
Who's that guy again?
The old guy in the Small Council. A family member of, do you remember old Stinger Beesbury?
Is he the guy that he was talking about the Stepstones and everyone's like, we moved on from that?
Yeah. It's a little confusing to have this Laris symbol and also have a guy named Beesbury.
So sure, but maybe everybody forgot about Beesbury like I did.
Oh, maybe.
It might not be a bee either, but I thought it looked like one.
It looks like one.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm here for whatever you guys want to do with Laris, because when you read Fire and Blood, the Strongs are there, but you're really just focused on the function of how Rhaenyra fit Harwin into her life and the drama that comes from the kids.
Because we don't get this explicit answer.
Or the characterization being shown like this. But the characterization plus the explicit answer plus the Laris stuff with Alicent makes all of it a little bit more sweet.
I totally agree. And so I wonder how Laris might be involved in Alicent's plotting going forward. Because he's clearly, I mean, they're having these little cutie dinners together where they gossip. He's like, finally, you have some info for me.
So she's got three men, Viserys, Laris, and Kristen. Who do you think, sir? This is such a salacious gossip question.
Who's she getting it from?
Yeah, in the episode review. Yeah, who's she getting it from?
Surely not Kristen.
I don't know, maybe. Kristen to me seems like an evil Varys. The way he got mad.
He got even hotter, though, is the thing.
So it's hard. It's difficult to show.
Yeah, so it's just like very confusing.
So what's hotter about him? So who is Alicent sleeping with and how is Kristen hotter?
Whatever he's doing with his hair, it works in this episode. He's so angry, so it's like, interesting. Mm-hmm. maybe I could be the one that would make you less angry. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know who Allison's getting it from. It would be hilarious if it was Laris, because it'd be so perfect based on how mad she is at Rhaenyra if she was also with
a strong.
Yeah. It's not Viserys. Bless his little heart.
Man, I know that this is me reaching, but it seemed like Lionel's big old son that was bigger than him, he really liked him. He wanted to save him from that room real bad.
Aw.
Yeah.
That whole thing, I'm pretty sad to see Lionel go.
Me too.
He was one of the, like, he was a true.
He was the real one.
He was the last of the real ones.
I like that he wanted to leave too. He was like, you know, it's about to get hairy up in here.
You didn't watch the preview of the next episode. You get a little flash of Otto.
I was going to say it right at the top of the episode. I liked it, but I'm really missing.
Right. We have no Otto in this episode.
Some Otto Hightower.
We get mention of him. I love how Allison says, because she's talking to Laris. Why are all of their names, Lionel, Laris, all the same?
Because they'd like that.
Because it's cool, a family thing. It's cool for them. It's really annoying for me. But Allison and Laris are talking, and he says, he's like, you can't say that your father would be a better hand necessarily. He's not going to be impartial in this situation. And she says, exactly, because he would be partial to me, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. He had my back and I need an ally. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that conversation that he had with her when he left, he said, cling to Rhaenyra or prepare Aegon, really made her think. It really made her think about what she needed to do. And so I think she probably realized once her dad was actually gone how much he had been having her back when literally nobody else was. Which maybe then why she clung on to Laris a little bit more, because she felt like she had a real friend at court. She was less lost. And Kristen too, maybe.
Well, the thing is, they both are burned by Rhaenyra, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Less so Laris. Laris is more just, I'll take what I can get. Sure. Opportunistic, but right. You know, Kristen definitely.
He was so mean to her about her.
Uh-huh. He's bitter as shit.
Yeah, I just wonder, we talked about if something else probably happened between them, but I'm guessing not. Mm-mm.
It makes sense. He just, we projected on him how complicated his mind could go.
Right.
He just said the wrong things. We were just distracted by the way he looked.
I know. But if he was smart, he would have just stayed his... How good would his life have been if he was like, yeah, Rhaenyra, you and me, let's do it. And I get to protect you and we still get to do our thing.
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like Rhaenyra had a pretty good thing with Harwin. I was going to say maybe she would have turned out a little bit less mad, but she seemed to like Harwin. She's still super mad.
Well, and enough for her kids to notice the affection between the two of them.
Well, I feel like that's hard to hide because he's always there. But I meant her as a person. Maybe her life could have turned out a little bit differently if Kristen hadn't sucked so much. But you know, I don't think she liked him that much anyway. Who?
Damon.
Do you really think that's true?
We're going to find out.
It's just like in the book where... My feeling was they were relieved, or they, I can't say anything else.
Maybe why?
Because it'll get into spoiler
Text
territory.
It to me after. We'll talk about it after.
I think they're doing a good job of making us see, she's not cartoonishly awesome. She's super real and flawed. And I'm looking at the way that Allison is as a person, mm-hmm. and she equally has crumbled in the way that we feel about her. And it's really interesting because it's like putting a magnifying glass on women aging. And like I said, these dudes are aging seemingly more gracefully beside this happening. Why are you shaking your head?
My worst fear. Keep going.
Right. It's where everyone else stays the same. But for some reason, if you're a girl that really tries and pays attention, you're just like, what happened to me?
Mm-hmm. My literal
everyone else is
fear.
Frozen and I'm a whole different person and mad and fighting and trying to take stuff from people and like get what I can while I can. I don't think that that's true, obviously. Hannah's looking around terrified right now. I don't think that's true, obviously, but in this case, that's what's happening to these guys.
Totally.
And it's just really weird to see it play out. I'm looking at this and I hope that we'll get a beautiful resolution and a little answer delivered in some neat kind of package to my question, which is why and at what moment did they decide to be different and to be mad at each other.
That mad at each other. The wedding. Well, because remember when Allison came down, when Allison came down, we barely got to break down the episode last week. When Allison came down, she showed up late to the wedding wearing green. And all the other Hightowers were saying, this is the symbol of the, green when we go to war.
Yeah, when the Hightower gets lit.
So it was, but I can't remember exactly why she was mad in that moment. I have to go back and look at, rewatch. I only watched the episode once last week. But
this midweek episode coming up is going to be a big one then.
Right.
A fat one.
Right. I think so. Because I think we have a lot to unpack from both the episodes, to be honest with you. But I think that she declared war at that point with her green outfit. But why is what you're asking.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm talking about what between them. There was some kind of relationship there. Some kind of romance. That was the feeling I got. And I mean, they're projecting. Or they like maybe they're just teenagers and they're just mad that they weren't each other's best friends and that they weren't telling each other everything. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't tell Allison that Damon took her out immediately. She didn't text her right when she got home or go to her bedroom or something. But at that point, they already weren't that close.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm asking that. At what point did they diverge?
When Allison married her dad and didn't tell her.
Yeah. But it seemed like Rhaenyra was also, that's it. I mean, that's got to be it. But Allison's mad too. And it seemed like the show was trying to make it seem like Allison was mad that Rhaenyra hooked up with someone.
Well, I think that Allison just cleaves onto a little bit of jealousy.
For everyone?
For everything. Because remember all the jealousy that was passing between them in the last episode when, or maybe it was the episode before when Rhaenyra was like, I don't have to stay home and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison was feeling sorry for herself because she has to, essentially.
I think you're getting closer to it.
And I think that that's what Kristen says about Rhaenyra, about how she's spoiled. And Allison doesn't correct him. I think that, there is just jealousy. I think that she sees Allison or Rhaenyra or Allison sees Rhaenyra as somebody who can do whatever she wants, which is why she...
Those damn Targaryens.
Right. It's like you were saying earlier, that's why she's so mad about the... Harwin Strong thing is not necessarily because of the family protecting
it's
the family line. It's because you get to do whatever you want, and that's not fair. Because she got pushed into the situation, and nobody's friends with her anymore, and all that kind of stuff.
I think there's just a lot of boring and wear old lady gowns.
Yeah, I think there's some jealousy there. At least I would probably be a little jealous.
And now the kids are about to get involved,
right? Which then goes into that broader point that we're
the richest, most powerful people
at the beginning of the episode, which is. If you allow your grudges to seep into your kids who don't understand why they hate each other, just that they do, problems are going to arise. Nobody has a, for lack of a better word, strong hold on the situation. And Viserys isn't even trying.
Father.
It's great. The conflict is great. And as this is what I hoped would happen, is that you and me would talk about the episode and I'd be like, yeah, like deep into it, you know? Because at first I was feeling a little missing, like I said, our other girlies, because I just loved spending time with them so much. I thought they were such standouts that this jump felt a little jarring to me. But after we've sat down and unpacked a lot of it, I feel better. And also I kind of like that we didn't necessarily see beat for beat everything, because like we've been saying, we don't see it in Fire and Blood, and it leaves a lot of really interesting open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm. Also, we get to have more, and I like that generational truth of Westeros is being revealed through the Targaryens and the TV show the same way it did in the book, and it's working.
But my question is then going to be, I mean, okay, we're talking about season two, season three, potentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way there's not going to be only two seasons of the show.
I think they're going to have to get... You were about to ask, what are they going to do, right?
Yeah, like at what point do they need to pump the brakes, essentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's what I was saying earlier. We're at this point, so that's why I was asking, when do you think certain things are going to happen in this season versus where we are? Because we've already burnt Harwin and Lionel.
I think we may have talked about this earlier, or it's a tweet from somewhere, and I wish that I had remembered who said it, but somebody said something weeks ago about, I can't believe George R. R. Martin started another TV show without finishing the series.
Yeah, someone tweeted that. Another TV show without finishing the books. Yeah,
because, I mean, we could potentially run into a similar situation again.
Just have all of it written, except like a little bit.
Right,
and
right.
Then all of a sudden, everything's a mystery, and it can still, it's really sticky for all of us.
And George is like,
too.
Man,
Man, I don't like
have
money.
Any, right, I don't have any other scraps I can piece together for this one.
Oh, he could come up with some scraps, pretty easily.
It just, yeah, it makes me curious how the next couple of seasons, but that's a discussion we can have over the next couple of months.
I think that there's a really cool opportunity for us to get a show that boldly and creatively depicts the Targaryens. And so I don't think that we're going to be limited to just this specific storyline, but while also using the through line of like what Fire and Blood usually is,
totally,
as a spine for interesting kinds of expression. Imagine if we got all the way up to Summerhall.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
All the way up to Robert's Rebellion.
That's what I'm saying.
We really could, and it would be pretty awesome. But we also have the ability to go back again if we want to. Imagine if season two opens with a beautiful 10-minute sequence of Aegon's conquest.
Of Alyssa and Baylon.
Well, there's that.
Who are these guys?
There's a scene from Fight Club where two people are having sex in a house and another person isn't, and actually, spoiler that he was actually, anyway, I don't want to spoil Fight Club, but he's looking up at the ceiling and like the chandelier's moving. Mm-hmm. Like he's annoyed. The chandelier's moving. Right. That's how it starts. Except it's a huge one in King's Landing.
Right. You just hear yells.
Wait, isn't this place made of stone?
Right. That's so funny. Maybe. I think there's a lot of room
for
opportunity.
How cool would that be?
I think it would be.
Seeing them. How are we going to cast? Are there three people with genetics is good enough to play those characters, really? There's got to be. Get the guy, Henry Cavill, who played the Witcher to do Aegon the Conqueror originally.
I think the guy who plays Aegon has great genetics for Targaryen energy.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, the original Viserys, Harry Lloyd from Game of Thrones, he was the goat.
Right.
That dude was awesome. Danny! Uh-huh. I want my crown!
He was really good. Get that guy back. He has a lot of that Aegon kind of energy.
Oh, for sure.
That makes him so great.
Yeah.
Can we talk more about that? Okay, we don't have to specifically go into detail.
About him standing and
yes.
just sunning himself.
And
the
then
right
his
way.
Mom comes in and she doesn't even flinch.
All good, man.
I loved it. She said nothing.
That was awesome. What privilege.
It's like,
my city.
Right. This says everything I need to know about everything. But
what if you saw your kid doing that?
I would. Okay, me personally, I would lose my freaking mind.
You turn around and run, right? Or would you go in there and like say something?
I would call their dad.
You have to send a raven.
right? I'm out of here.
That was cool. Another, more of the human stuff. You got to have the human stuff with the kids.
Because you got to get to know them.
It's a little bit less serious. I mean, it's way less serious than how we met young Alicent and Rhaenyra. But they're basically going to be just as important.
They are.
Yeah. All these dragons, all these eggs, and all this traveling. And I didn't get the impression that Alicent or that Rhaenyra was thinking about Daemon. It looked like she was pretty content with Harwin.
For sure, but Daemon was thinking about her.
Maybe.
He was. That's why he reacted to the letter that way. He's making fun of her man. He's like, did she mention that her kid looked like Harwin Strong? Again?
So when everything goes wrong, that's, again, I can't talk about spoilers, but I hope that it's going to be interesting to see if people still like Rhaenyra. You were saying, where do your allegiances lie? I think that most people, I don't know, I'll just speak for myself, whoever's less annoying, usually for me.
Sure.
And whatever's right, but also who's ever truly less annoying, not just who's good at being less annoying, but who's less annoying and also not a total piece of shit.
I think it should be one of our questions of the week because I don't know if I think that it's less clear because I think both of them are annoying.
But when we get some more, then I think it's going to be even more tough.
Right.
But I also think that there's part of the stuff that's going to happen where half of us aren't going to realize how sad it is that that's what you're doing now. And the other half will be like, yeah, cheering for it.
Sure.
Or those people will be cheering for it. And the other people are going to be like, wow, interesting plan now after all is said and done. But again, that's super vague for no reason. Sorry about that. I'm ready to do my owns. I'm ready to read more of your owns and tweet more of them and watch this episode again, watch the last episode again and do this midweek episode. What do you think?
I'm amped on it. I think we had a great discussion with David last week. I love talking to David. I think he's such an interesting guy. But it's nice to be back on our Sunday grind.
I honestly like it way more without him on the show right now.
Without him on the show?
Without him back in our vibe, this is such a relief. But I really thanks a lot, David, for coming on for our 500th episode. My own for this episode.
Man.
I'll give mine to the scene where Rhaenyra was walking immediately after giving birth go appease her friend, who's now the queen, and her awkward dad, who's so up his own ass. And that guy who was offering her help, I'm so pleased to be one of the first to get to greet you and say congratulations on the birth of your new child. If there's anything that I can do to help. But the way that they filmed it and the way are you okay? The sound design, the way that they did that, it felt like you were playing Baldur's Gate, which is a D&D video game based in the D&D universe, or really any questing game like that, but this is one of the earlier ones, and you'll be walking through a town, and if the sound design is good on these kinds of games, someone will be trying to get your attention, like, hey, I have a quest for you or whatever. It felt just like that, and the way that they filmed it with the camera moving and then the sound slowly creeping away as she walked further away, and how she's like the video, she's the video game character. She just did a bunch of crazy stuff. Mom's making pizza rolls. I've got my own life in my head, but this dumb video game character is just speaking completely from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And the way that they filmed it was just a cool, it's what I said earlier in the season. And before Hot D, I hope that we get cool GOT lore with HBO polish even better, but I also want some more creative filmmaking experiments that are cool for the sake of just being cool. Cinematography tricks and, different approaches, the sequences, like the beginning of Godfather or something, or these long tracking shots and things like Battle of the Bastards or Watchers on the Wall or Sam cleaning chamber pots in Old Town, creative stuff. But if you can do that and make it sort of fantasy bent, like an NPC in a video game quest giver, that's so cool.
Totally.
So I love that.
That's a great own. It's that high fantasy element that we really like that we've been seeing throughout. This
and I think that they can
so
go
far.
Even further. I think this is like the black and white film version of how deep it can really get.
Right.
How deep it can really, really get. We're just seeing it being scratched into, I think, with these really creative approaches to the way that the world works and breathes that they're in. And like I said, it's just the very beginning of it feels like to me.
Couldn't agree more. I didn't notice that. I mean, I noticed that scene, but I like the way you described it. Mm. I would also add on to your own, her blood trailing after her.
Oh, yeah.
Was also really cool.
Standing by the door.
Yeah.
Someone else will clean that.
That was so cool. I have two owns. Were those your owns?
No, just one own, yeah.
Okay. That's so weird. It's so strange for me.
Wait, would you forgive Kristen because he's so handsome?
No.
Okay.
No, he acted like such a little baby.
He got so mad. It was like when Bilbo tried to get the ring back from Frodo at Rivendell. His face turned black. That's
right,
how he
exactly.
Got
it was so
when
embarrassing
he was
for him.
About Rhaenyra.
So, if I was Rhaenyra, I would be over it. I want to give my own to two different things. One, two. I loved when Rhaenyra tells Lannister they're leaving to Dragonstone, and she gives that quip back to him. The wise sailor. Flees the storms, like he said to her earlier. That was such a cool early Rhaenyra quip that I just really was pleased with. So I loved that moment between the two of them. She's like, you can bring your boy with us, but
we need all the swords we can get.
We're going. That was, I liked that peek into their dynamic, which we got a little bit of in this episode.
We got a lot of it. Let's be honest.
We got a lot of it in the
episode. We kind of know what their whole deal is.
But they still,
poor Lannister.
They're still loyal to each other. Seemingly.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been much of a struggle for them to have
right,
to be loyal
to, like,
yet.
Be friends. They're still friends. I think that's nice.
But it seems like Lannister is totally cool with pulling away at any second and heading to Essos and losing himself in the Free Cities.
You're right. So maybe I'm right. Maybe whatever. My own was that
Your
moment.
Your opinions are wrong, Hannah.
They are kind of wrong. I'm backing out on them.
Your computer's unmuted.
I know. I just muted it. Sorry, my bad. Anyways, the wise sailor flees. Sort of the thought was a nice little quip. Classic Rhaenyra quip. I really liked that. And then I have to give my other own to a very cliche moment, but I really loved it, which was the pink dread. I thought the whole pig thing with wings was so funny and so cute and such a good prank. And then with Aemon going down into the dragon pit deeper, kind of foreshadowing what is to come. Mm-hmm. That whole scene.
I thought it was going to happen then.
Me too. I was like, I said out loud, is it already happening?
They couldn't with what is the rest of where, I don't know, spoilers anyway.
It happens in the next episode.
Okay, cool. Spoiler. Wait, they probably showed the entire scene in the preview.
So anyway, the pink dread thing made me LOL. It was so cute and funny. So my own goes to that.
Pigs are cool.
Also, we have to give our collective own to that Viserys moment. This is the stuff. We talked about it 6 times, but
that's my new reaction gift to anything that's cool.
This is the stuff. Does he really say that?
Yes, it is. We've listened 3 times.
Sometimes we pretend like they said something that they didn't actually say. But anyway, that was really fun.
We are going to lament the decline of a character so cool.
I'm gonna miss. That's what I'm saying. Viserys.
You said it plainly. You said it better.
I'm gonna miss him so bad. A week before this season, he was getting so hyped. And George himself said, he made me like, Paddy Considine made me like Viserys. Mm-hmm. I could not agree more. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. He cracks me up. Any meme about him, any video of him, anything that House of the Dragon HBO posts of him. Remember last week when they posted that thing where it's like, Viserys will die. Then it was like, they like.
The screenshot you kept showing me?
They zoomed in on his face.
Yeah. Is it the king funny. Dies or whatever?
Yeah. Whatever. Everything that has to do with Viserys, it really gets me going. So I'm going to miss that guy. Anyway, those are our owns.
For the week that we don't have a new episode, that's how she's going to miss him, because then there'll be no new Viserys until next Sunday.
Exactly.
Well, you have until then, basically until then, to send us your own for this episode. We'll be sharing these throughout the week and compiling our questions. We already have one of them. If you want to think about your answer for that, it would be helpful. Helps us get an idea of what everyone's feeling about this stuff. And then we're going to send it directly to HBO and they're going to farm your ideas and put it in the next episode. Right. And that's
how it works.
Why we do this. No. Yeah. So at Game of Owns on Twitter, Hannah, you want to help me with the rest of the plugs?
Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans, Facebook, email, search for Game of Owns, or for email, you can send us an email. How many times can I say email? To contact@gameofowns.com.
The next episode will be part 2 of this. We don't need to know the title yet.
What a relief.
So Sunday night, Monday morning, go talk to all your friends. Tell them that you really thought the kid jacking off to the sky was awesome. And we'll see you
we'll
on
see you later.
The next episode.
Bye.